There was a clown in the middle of the street on a mini trampoline, jumping up and down, screaming, 23, 23, 23, 23. And all day long, he jumped up and down. People would walk by and just kind of scratch their heads. I don't get this clown act. This is weird. This is funny. But finally, one little kid comes up there, and he's just curious. He's that one that just needs to know. He's like, what are you doing? And the clown just keeps going. 23, 23, jumping as high as he possibly can on this little mini trampoline. And the kid's like, I want to try it. And the clown stops. And he's kind of like a mime clown, the creepiest kind that there possibly can be. Okay, except for he yells 23. Larry, it's like, that you're failing. He can't be a mime and yell 23. He only says 23, okay? He's almost a mime. How am I doing? Is this good? Should we just scratch it for now? No, we're going. All right, so he's jumping, 23, 23. The kid finally says, can I try it? And this clown stops, and he steps to the side, and he gestures. And kid gets on the trampoline, starts bouncing, and then the clown's like, 23. And so the kid starts yelling, 23, 23. And the kid's kind of like, I don't get it. And the clown, he finally... Fine, the clown can talk. The clown says, higher, higher. And so the kid goes higher and higher, 23, 23. And he says, now as high as you can. And the kid bounces as high as he can. And while he's at the top, the clown takes the trampoline out. And the kid falls through a manhole down into the sewers. The clown puts the trampoline back over, gets on and starts jumping, 24, 24, 24. Eventually, there's an application to this, okay? I wouldn't just tell that joke. I don't really think it's that funny, okay? There's a point, all right? Today, we are going to talk about the title of the message. I'm very happy that the title has 5 W's in it. So we got a little tongue twister for a title. And this is the grand finale, Proverbs chapter 8 and chapter 9. We have basically the choice put before us. And so the question before us is, which way will we walk? Say it with me. Which way will we walk? Which way will we walk? As it comes to wisdom, if I summarized all the messages, we talk about wisdom is knowledge applied. It's all about how we walk, the choices we make, where we put our foot. Will it be in wisdom? Will everything be informed by, motivated by who God is and what he has spoken? The main idea of today is, which way will we walk? We have a choice, wisdom or folly. Wisdom being righteousness, who God is, what he has said, or folly, which is sin and self. I know, it's as simple as can be. And yet, it really, I'm going to assume you remember some of the things we talked about, what wisdom looks like. Pastor Mike talking even last week about it affects our finances and our work ethic. That is wisdom according to God's ways and what God has said. Which way will we walk? It's great that you hear the messages, but if the very definition of wisdom is knowledge applied, it really doesn't matter what happens right here and right now. It matters when we put our foot everywhere else. It matters how we walk, the choices we make, the things we choose to do, the things we choose to be, the things we choose to say. Which way will we walk? I got Proverbs 8 and 9. I'm going to start with chapter 9. Let me read you chapter 9. And I guess the picture I want you to get today is that there's a choice that's set before us, wisdom, folly. In these chapters, it's kind of like they make their speech. They present their house and their table and what they have to offer. In fact, I will say it's almost, it talks about how they're on the highest point on the path and the entrance to the city. I'm going to like saying this, but it's the proverbial fork in the road. See, it's fun to say proverbial because we're in Proverbs. But you hear that expression, the fork in the road, the place of decision. Here they are, and they're making their case. Wisdom makes her speech. Wisdom makes her promises. Wisdom presents her house, presents what she has to offer. And then we have folly on the other side, who makes its tempting appeal come this way. And the question is, which way will we walk? So let's look at chapter 9 and see if you can kind of see how this plays out. And think about this. This is, you say, how can you be done with Proverbs? But the rest of Proverbs is one-liners. When you go through the rest of Proverbs and you read through it, they are one-lines of wisdom. That's a whole separate study in itself. You can preach a message on each individual one. Maybe you could find a collection of related ones, and you could present topics of specifically this is what wisdom looks like. But these first 9 chapters, remember, our setting is this is Solomon at the end of his life, after really blowing it, starting right. One thing, I have one choice, anything you want, God says. And he says, I choose wisdom. To finding himself in disobedience, finding himself chasing after those women, right? Where it says they led him astray and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord. Those are the words right out of 2 Kings there. Now he has the opportunity to pass on to his son, and you see the appeal. You see, choose wisdom. All right, so chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its 7 pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker. Now here, this verses 7 through 11, there's going to be a little midsection here, and I'm just going to make a little comment. So there, as far as Proverbs chapter 9, there was the wisdom appeal. There's a house, there's a table, and she wants you to come and live, right? Now in between here, I'm just going to make one point here, but it says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Let me stop right there. You want to know? You wonder, am I a fool or am I a wise person? Here's the litmus test, is how do you handle rebuke? It says right here that if you rebuke a mocker, he will hate you. And unfortunately, a lot of people I deal with in church don't like rebuke. Now, rebuke seems like a strong word, right? I mean, there's people doing it. They're like, I don't like what that pastor has to say. Now, can pastors get out of line sometime and say things that are not the Word of God? Maybe. But most of the time, I'm going to say they're preaching the Word and they're speaking truth. And the truth, see, here's 2 sayings for you. One is the truth hurts. How many of you heard that? And the other one is the truth will set you free. It's kind of like the choice that we have right here. You can be a foolish person and when the truth hurts and it makes you mad and you just move on and you want nothing to do with that because I don't like what he has to say. That didn't tickle my ear. That's not what I wanted to hear. He's meddling in my life. He's going in places where it doesn't belong. Or the truth can set you free. And it says, when I hear that, I rebuke a wise man and he'll love you because he's leading you in the way of life. So I just figured that was a little litmus test to figure out where you stand, all right? I'm not going to put the test on you. You got to do the test for yourself. Pastor Mike might have you labeled, but I don't. I'm sorry. I'm just being mean. All right, instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. I hope that that's all of us today, that we want to grow in our learning. It's not like a one-time wisdom thing. I just choose wisdom and I'm done. It's a lifetime of choosing God and his ways. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. All right, now here's folly. On the other side of the fork in the road, the other side, there's a house. There's a woman. Both of them are women. Wisdom is a woman, and folly is a woman. The question is, whom will we choose? Which way will we walk? The woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. Now I want you to picture the clown jumping on a trampoline, say in 23, all right? You knew there was a point. Do you get that sense here? Here's folly. Come here. It's sweet. It's good. Little do they know, it leads to death. 24. All right, that's my introduction. You guys ready for the points? I'm a little off today and all over the place, all right? So you probably already figured that out. The points, I kind of want to use just some weird things to maybe illustrate this idea of the choice that's before us. So I did make them all start with the same letter, but they're really weird. So we're going to talk about Pinocchio. We're going to talk about The Price is Right. And we're going to talk about the political poll. Is that really just all over the place right there? Good. Let's go on this weird journey together. All right, let's talk about Pinocchio. How many of you are old enough that you went and saw it in the theater? Yeah, all the old people raise their hand. You're not that old, are you, Diane? It came out in 1940. Were you going to the movies in 1940? You must have went to a re-release, so you can put your hand down, all right? All right, you can put your hand down. Now, Gary, I believe. Harvey, I believe, all right? But, Diane, you're off the hook. It was actually Disney's second animated movie after Snow White, and it actually didn't do very well in the theater, but after years, this really means nothing to you, but has anybody ever seen the website called Rotten Tomatoes? It takes 41 different critiques and reviews, and if they're positive, it goes. Anyway, it's one of the few movies on Rotten Tomatoes that actually has 100% rating. So that's a very difficult accomplishment, that everybody likes that movie and has something good to say about that movie, Pinocchio. But it really is a morality tale. Remember, Pinocchio was a wooden puppet made by Geppetto, and then the fairy godmother comes and says, "When you wish upon a star," and says, "If you will be brave, and truthful, and
unselfish,
that's it. Brave, truthful, and unselfish, then you can be a real boy." And she gives Jiminy Cricket to be his conscience, and he's sent off to school. But on his way to school, there's a fox named Honest John. Now, if you meet a fox named Honest John, he's trying to compensate for something right there, that he's not honest, so he puts it in front of his name. And Honest John says, "You don't need to go to school. I got just the thing for you, and you can come be the star of this show, and you're going to be famous." And so Pinocchio ends up at Stromboli. His puppet show, got no strings on me, and he likes it for a little while, but then at the end of that night, just like folly right here, he finds himself locked in a cage, unable to leave. Fairy godmother gets him out of it, you know, he lies, nose grows. That's not even the most important part of the story. I mean, the whole lying and the nose growing is the part that we remember. But I love the idea of Pleasure Island. If I've ever seen a morality tale played out in a movie, it has to be that movie. That even after he kind of learned, what did we talk about in the very beginning of this series? That the fool returns to their folly. That even though he experienced it, he does it all over again. He has every opportunity to go back home. He has every opportunity to go to school and to do what he was told to do. But then, once again, Honest John comes along and says, "I got just the place for you, Pleasure Island." You can do anything you want. Everybody's having fun. It's the greatest place on the planet. And so, once again, what is Jiminy Cricket saying? No, 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 no. Pinocchio goes to Pleasure Island, where they drink, smoke, play pool, gamble, and then they turn into donkeys, which is really a picture. They become slaves. They're sold as donkeys, as beasts of burdens, this penalty of sin that comes. Oh yeah, sure, they enjoyed those moments. Sin is fun for a season. And I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story and all of those kind of things, but really that picture, you know, who will we listen to? The speeches are being given. What is it about folly's speech that we find so appealing? Really, folly doesn't get to say much. We're going to go to chapter 8 eventually, where wisdom gets a whole chapter. We got a snippet in chapter 9, but chapter 8 is all of wisdom's speech. But folly, really, just with a couple lines, has trapped so many and led them to the grave and led them to the slave and led them to the chains and led them to becoming donkeys. How many? No, I'm not going to ask that one. I was going to say how many live next to a donkey, and then I was going to, and then it was going how many live with a donkey, but I didn't want you raising your hand on that. Somebody's feelings might get hurt. But we all know some donkeys. We all been some donkeys. Because we made the wrong choice and we listened to folly rather than. So going back to the verses 18 and 19 of chapter 9 right here, as we go through this, what is it that folly promises? What is it that is the appeal, this house, this speech that is there? Here's what folly says. Stolen water is sweet, food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. I break it down like this. Ease and please. And then it ends with deceased. That doesn't really rhyme, but I don't think decease by itself is a word. I will decease you. Is that a word? No. I wanted it to be, but it's not, all right? Ease and please. See the ease? The promise of folly says stolen water is sweet. That there always is a temptation for the shortcuts in life. There's people who've made a living off of people's naivety when it comes to get-rich schemes. I think of Jesus himself and his temptation. The devil comes to him and says, if you just bow down now, I'll give it all to you. He was offering him a shortcut, an easy way. It wasn't real. It was nothing but lies. And yet folly does that. It lies and says, this is the easy way. And then, of course, the main appeal of folly is the pleasure island, is the please. That eaten in secret is delicious. Promises us delicious. How many of you have ever been let down by, I don't know how they do that, but like on fast food, they show you the pictures of the food. Yeah. Don't they look so good? I mean, have you seen a picture of a Whopper or a quarter pounder with cheese? I got to do equal service. You know, I don't want to be sued by either of those companies. They're listening right now. But those pictures, they look so good. I mean, if you never had one of those in your life, now some of us have already pre-trained because we've had those and we know they're no good. You know, they taste nothing like they look. That picture is nothing but lies. And yet there's this picture. And I just imagine folly's house is that same kind of appeal. Come look on the surface. It just looks so good. It looks so promising. You know, just like Pleasure Island, you picture the amusement park and all of the fun and the games. And it says, come here. It's delicious. But little do they know that our guests are in the depths of the grave, that you're going to be a donkey when it's all said and done. And I just wonder in our life, I think of Jacob and Esau. You know, the things that we value that are there. Remember that Jacob tricked his brother Esau into selling the birthright, that which was eternal and everlasting, the promises of God, the blessing of the Father, just for one moment, a bowl of soup. And the enemy plays to our appetites. And Paul says in the New Testament of this world that whose God is their bellies. All the world has to say is it's delicious and we're in. That's our flesh. That's the world we live in. And unfortunately, the church has eaten some of the junk that's out there. The world is saying this is delicious and we're biting. You can ask the fish how that worked out for them. Because it comes with a hook. And it comes with, little do they know, you're going to be on somebody's plate. The devil prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So you get it. Pinocchio. Folly in her speech. Let's move on to wisdom. The idea of The Price is Right. How many like watching The Price is Right? Been watching that forever? That must have started in 1942. I don't know what year that started, but it's been around a long time. And they have the showcases at the end. So I got this picture of there's these showcases, or maybe a better is, but it didn't start with a P, but the idea of let's make a deal. You know, what door will we choose? And yet in this introductory of Proverbs, we have a picture of what's behind the doors. There's no secret, there's no surprise. It's spelled out for us. There's teaching and instruction of where they lead and what the end result is. But you ever notice on those shows when they're just in that place of decision and everybody's yelling out, right? Isn't that kind of fun? And you can just, you know, I was like, I want to be in that position, right? They're yelling out, no, one, one, one. Or somebody over here is saying, two, two, two. And they're like, who do I listen to? Who do I listen to? What do I do? Do I go with the crowd? Or do I go with my gut? Or what do I do? And really, we have this picture. Who are we going to listen to? The speeches are being given. They're both sitting at the high point, at the entrance to the gate. There with their houses, making their speeches with a loud voice, saying, come here. And what will we choose? And so I like the idea of The Price is Right. When we get into chapter 8, I know we've talked about the value of wisdom, and Solomon over and over talks about the value of wisdom. It's in this chapter 8 we find, I've always loved the song, the Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Anyway, that comes out of this chapter, but it's as much as it's we sing it about the Lord, it's talking about wisdom, that it's to be valued above silver and gold and diamonds and rubies, that it's all about wisdom. So let me read first 11 verses and try to go through this part as quickly as possible. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak. Go back to verse 1 for me. 1 through 11. I was like, I'm starting in the middle of it. We need wisdom speech here. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, the fork in the road, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than the choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. That's a pretty good speech. A couple things I note in there. Wisdom is truth. And those verses 6 and 7 says, everything that comes out of our mouth is true. You can't say that about folly. Everything, in fact, as far as it comes to the enemy in the flesh, says he is the father of lies, that lying is his native language, that he only speaks lies and deception. And yet wisdom, everything is truth, everything is right. When it promises us that if you walk in wisdom, that you're going to be blessed, and that when you walk in wisdom, that you will never regret it. When you walk in wisdom, that you'll be able to sleep at night. When you walk in wisdom, all of these things we've looked at, you can know that it's true. You used to be able to say you can take that to the bank, but then banks didn't do so well. So I don't know. We need a better expression. But you can count on God's word. It is true. Wisdom is truth, and then once again, wisdom is valuable. We see, more precious than silver. Jumping down to, what is that, verse 22, Ben? Or am I just making up numbers? What is the one I jumped down to? 19. Just verse 19, if you'll put that one up there. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. We're going to read that section in a bit right here. But once again, we see the value here. What it yields, the results. Once again, folly, in contrast, pleasure for a season, and then death. Wisdom, what it yields, its fruit. Now, there might be a process, right? Planting, you don't always get, in fact, you never get immediate returns on planting a seed. There's time and a process and a patience and a trusting that goes into that, but it yields so much more. It yields that which is valuable. It surpasses anything that this world has to offer. Nothing I desire compares with it. Nothing that my belly wants. Nothing that is pleasing to the eyes. Nothing that folly can give me compares to what is found in Him, in wisdom. So, wisdom is truth. Wisdom is valuable. Reading on to the next section, so back to verse 12 here. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. You know, wisdom is power. There's power in it. And we read on here. It says, by me, kings reign and rulers make laws that are just. By me, princes govern and nobles who rule on earth. Now, I should stop and make political statement, but I don't want to. But maybe I just feel like we should read those verses, that God has something to do with our ability to lead and to govern and to rule. And I pray for men and women of God that would get that. But that has, as much as we can pick on politicians, let's talk about our houses and our homes and our community where we're called to be leaders. You want to be a leader? It's wisdom that will give you the power and the ability to do what needs to be done in your home and in your life, in your circumstances, and in your situations. So quit picking on the politicians. Why are you doing that? Start picking on yourself. If you want to rule and reign, you want to be a leader after God's heart, then wisdom is that power and that understanding of how to do that. We really should, as men, as priests of our home, like Solomon, if you have a choice of anything, we ought to choose wisdom. I want to do what's right. I want to know what's right. I want to be what's right for my home, for my marriage, for my children, for my grandchildren. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Verse 17, we talk about if wisdom is truth and wisdom is valuable, if wisdom is power, wisdom is faithful. Wisdom is faithful. It'll never let you down. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. That's a pretty good verse right there. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. And then we got one more section after that. Wisdom is truth. Wisdom. What was my next one? Wisdom is truth. You don't remember? I keep trying to say it so that I will remember. Wisdom is truth. Wisdom is valuable or worthy. I actually had that on my notes. Maybe that's a better word. Wisdom is worthy. It's worth it. It's full of worth. You know, we often use that word worthy. I'm not sure we understand what that word means. Wisdom is worthy of our pursuit. Wisdom is faithful. Wisdom is power. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Which way will we walk? Let me take one little side trip, just finish out the chapter, read this section right here, verse 22 through the end of the chapter, or 22 through 32, and then there's a couple more verses at the end. The Lord brought me forth. This is kind of interesting. I want you to read this, but it's like wisdom is created as the companion to God. But I want you to know, I'm going to just make a couple points after we read this here. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth and its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. And the point that I have right here is it's God's wisdom, that man has nothing to do with wisdom. Man does not define wisdom. Humankind does not define wisdom. That wisdom existed before you and I were made. That his ways and what was righteous was set in stone and set in place. Wisdom is eternal. Wisdom is everlasting. And we live in a world that is selling us differently. That it changes, that truth is not absolute, but wisdom is and always will be. We need to recognize that. And in fact, it says wisdom, to delight in mankind. We were meant to live in relationship with wisdom. It was like wisdom was waiting for us. Here is God's ways. Here is who God is. Here is righteousness. Now come, mankind, live out wisdom. And we know we failed, right? And we know the rest is history. And yet wisdom is still available. It is still calling. It is still drawing. And the choice is still ours. Which way will we walk? Wisdom. The Word of God. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes that he has set eternity upon the hearts of men. Romans 1, which Pastor Mike read last week, and we got all excited about the evil world in which we live, but it says that man is without excuse because God has written his laws upon our hearts. Now maybe you never knew, but you knew. God wrote it there because wisdom is eternal, and it's a part of who we are. And I just challenge the church. I know not the whole church is listening. And that includes you guys. No. just kidding. Sort of. The church needs to hear, man does not make wisdom. God made wisdom. And it came first, and it always will be. And it is the standard to which we're called and in which we are called to delight with wisdom. She makes her appeal, which brings us to the final point. All right, we talked a long time there on the Price is Right. You know, what is it that wisdom, the showcase that is offered. But now we talk about the political poll. I could get into elections. I mean, how many know you've seen enough political ads and heard enough to know that we have elections coming up in November and they're pretty big and there's things happening and all of that stuff that's going on, okay? So to use that, the idea is we have a vote. We have a choice. And so here, if you look at it as almost a debate, okay, Folly has given her speech at this fork in the road, and Wisdom has given her speech at this fork in the road, and we get to vote. How many know politicians like to make all their promises? Let's look at a couple of Wisdom's promises as we look at the end of chapter 8. I said I wasn't going to do every verse, but I ended up doing every verse as we got through it right here. 32 through 36. Now then, I really hear this as a concluding remarks of Solomon as he's offering the wisdom that comes in the rest of Proverbs. But this is all about why you ought to listen, why you ought to choose wisdom. Now then, my sons, see, Wisdom's no longer talking. This is Solomon. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself, and all who hate me love death. Pretty good concluding statement right there to Wisdom. You know, standing at its podium, offering its promises. But remember, Wisdom is truth. It's not just empty promises. These are promises, for lack of a better phrase, that you can take to the bank, that you can stand upon, that you can know. Jesus used the same picture. Isn't it amazing how Jesus used this in the Sermon on the Mount? The wise man built his house upon a rock, and the foolish man built his house on the sand. And when the rains came, the house on the rock was still standing, and the house on the sand was gone. He's drawn right out of this Proverbs, right here, that wisdom will last, wisdom will stand, wisdom will be life, wisdom will never fail, if you will. And how did Jesus define that? The wise man was the one who heard the words and put them into practice. Foolish man heard the words, but didn't do it. So I don't care what you heard. He cares what we do and who we are. So we have these promises. We didn't have much about Folly, but what was Folly's promise? Let's just read the last verse of the entire introductory part one more time. 9 and verse 18. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. Doesn't that sound like a slimy politician right there? I'm not even going to make promises. Just come eat everything. No, I see, I want to make political statement right there, you know. I'm going to give you ease and please. That's how a lot of politicians get elected. Right? And yet it ends up in some pretty bad places. So when you vote, don't vote ease and please. Vote the wisdom of God. All right, enough about politics. Let's talk about us. That there is a saying that goes something like this: we vote with our feet. Anybody ever heard that before? We vote with our feet. I could sit here and do a poll and say, do you like McDonald's or Burger King better? But the real test is when I follow you after church and see where you go. We vote with our feet. You vote that you don't like a place when you walk out of it. You may say you don't like Walmart, but as much as you shop there, you're voting with your feet. I'm guilty. I say I hate the place, and yet I go there way too much. We vote with our feet. So we could say all the things we want, but the truth is, which way will we walk is measured by where we put our foot. We vote with our feet. And the question is, how will we vote today? In this political poll, the debate, the speeches that are given, the showcases that are offered. I don't know how Pinocchio fits in, so just remember that. Which way will we walk? All right, here's my grand conclusion. I thought of giving like some kind of altar call. In fact, here's what I had in mind for the altar call. I'm going to stand over here and be Wisdom and call out to you. And then I was going to bring a mini trampoline and dress Pastor Mike up as a clown and have you jump up and down. But instead of doing it, I just thought you guys should picture that. And or we could switch spots. I don't want you to feel bad. I'll be Folly if you want. I guess if anybody is a clown, that's me. Let me just read my conclusion, and then I will find an interesting way for us to respond, okay? You have heard the speeches full of their promises, and in parentheses I put, one is lying. You have seen their houses and what they have to offer. Those last couple verses we read, if you choose wisdom, it's life. If you choose folly, it's death. Choice is yours. We stand at the fork in the road with one question: which way will we walk? You get it? I'm going to make you respond. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to make this, you're going to vote with your feet. That means you're going to stand up when it comes time, okay? You're going to vote with your mouth. I'm going to make you choose some actions right here, and you're going to say something. So I'm going to go through, everybody know when your birthday is? If not, ask somebody next to you, when's my birthday? And if you don't know when their birthday is, just make something up. It's fine. I'm going to say a month of the year, and if that's your month, I want you to stand up and say, I choose wisdom. And then stay standing. So that rather than all of us doing it one at a time, we can kind of experience this together in community. Once again, everything we do here really doesn't mean anything. That's an awful thing to say. I last year I got stuck on that. I'm not even preaching for Sunday mornings anymore. Let's preach for everyday life. Did you hear that one statement? Daily at her doorway. That's choosing wisdom. I want to wake up every day. Every day you wake up, you stand at a fork. The voices are there. I choose wisdom. I choose wisdom. All right, so everybody get this. I'm going to say January, and if you're in the month of January, stand on your feet and say, I choose wisdom. All right, ready? January.
I choose wisdom. I choose wisdom.
All right, stay standing. We'll be all, hopefully all of us will be standing when it's done. February. So short, nobody ever was born. January, February. March. April.
I choose wisdom.
January, February, March, April, May.
I choose wisdom. June.
I choose wisdom. All right, all my June babies. Must mean it's really cold in January. July.
I choose wisdom.
August. Happy birthday month to you. September. Ooh, September's got June B. Good job, September. October. Not bad, October. November. All right, let's pray. I just wanted to make somebody mad. December. Were you the only one, Linda, over there? All right. Another one? Okay, we had a couple. Okay. Let's pray together. Lord, we choose wisdom.
Amen.
And Lord, let it be more than words. Let it be more than a moment when we stood up and said it. Lord, let it be daily at the doorway. May we stand at the path and choose wisdom. All that you have promised. You are faithful. You are true. And we want your ways. Lord, deliver us from the folly. Deliver us from our simple ways. And Lord, let us continually learn, continually grow, continually choose the ways of God. So Lord, help us now to go live it and go give it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.